everybody. Welcome into another episode of Blue Devil Banter Podcast for this spring semester. I'm your host, Josh Schmidt. Alongside me is Trevor Hauer. Today's episode, we have our first returning guest. Coach Sean Smiley of the men's basketball team is back to talk some men's basketball and some March Madness with us. How's it going, Coach?
It's going well. Thanks for having me back. I guess we had a little fun the first time, so it's good to be back on here. I appreciate it.
Yeah, for sure. It's always nice to have a returning guest on. But, you know, you guys are back to practicing, back in the weight room. So what's it been like? I mean, this is your first taste of coaching here at Fredonia since last semester. You didn't get to do too much practicing. And this being your first year here still, what's it been like so far?
It's been nice. I think more than anything, it's a relief, and it almost feels normal. You know, it doesn't feel normal that we're in March. And, you know, March Madness is around the corner tonight, actually, first game. And we're just practicing, having our first 2 weeks of practice. But in terms of just day-to-day, it's just good to see the guys in the gym having fun. It's good to see them kind of getting after it and breaking a sweat a little bit and getting a chance to just enjoy yourselves in there, work, get a little bit better. But the main goal, really, this semester is just to get our legs back under us and enjoy ourselves in the gym.
Has it felt like you've never left practices, or has it felt like it's been like 10 years since the last time you guys hit the floor?
Oh, it feels like it's been forever. It really does. I'm looking on like my social media timelines and stuff about, you know, last season when I was at Hobart and like when things shut down and when the season kind of ended abruptly. And it really does feel like years ago. And at the same time, it feels like the year flew by. But in terms of stepping into the gym, it felt like new territory. But it was nice at the same time. It's like riding a bike, you know. So once you step in, you're good to go.
So you guys have been able to get back into the gym yet? It hasn't just been weight room stuff. It's been getting out on the court, shooting around, and stuff like that.
Right. We started in the performance center a couple weeks sooner than we got into the gym. So we've been going to the performance center probably 4 weeks now. We go twice a week in the performance center in the mornings. And then the last 2 weeks, we've been able to get in the gym 4 times a week for practice. So we're going anywhere from an hour to an hour and a half, depending on what's going on. Sometimes we push it an extra 10, 15 minutes or so. But it's been, you know, compared to what we were doing or not doing in fall, like 4 days a week feels like a lot. Feels like it's fairly regular, which is nice. Nice to get on a schedule again.
How's it? How the guys look? Do they been keeping in shape? You've been having to whip them into shape a little bit.
A little bit of both. You know, like I said, we got in the performance center early, so we kind of had a head start in terms of our bodies and being in shape and stuff. And I'm not pushing us to a point now. It doesn't make sense to try and get into like basketball game shape. But more, like I said, to just get our legs under us. Going from the first 2 to 3 days to practices the last day or two, shots are definitely starting to fall. Passes are a lot more crisp. Defense and the communication is better. So, you know, I attribute all of that to kind of working our way back into shape and starting to feel a little bit more normal on the court again. So it's incredible to me how fast they've adapted right back into the swing of things with practice, and their bodies look great. So it's exciting to see.
It's awesome.
Have you guys been like scrimmaging at all during practice? Like you see who the top guys are and like the guys that are on your radar that you want to start, or your top guys in practice that you want to start in the next future years?
A little bit. We're definitely incorporating a lot of live action stuff in practice. I think more so than anything, you know, it'll be really easy for me to do a bunch of drills and try and get guys better and do a bunch of defensive stuff and things like that and drill it down and coach it really hard. But again, it's been a year, right? So I have to keep in mind, it's been an entire year that these guys haven't been able to kind of enjoy the competitive practice environment every day. So I'm doing my best to really add in 5-on-5, 4-on-4 live action segments, just to kind of let them play first and foremost. But then obviously like right before I jumped on this interview, I was watching film of yesterday's practice. So after the fact, I go back and I evaluate, and then we can work on individual things with certain guys to try and get them better.
So switching up gears a little bit, have you been able to start the recruiting process yet? And if you have, what's that been like so far?
Yeah, recruiting was, it never stops. So really, that was, when I first got the job last summer, even before I got the campus, like that was the first thing I started with because it was all we could do. I couldn't see the guys until I got to campus. Even when we got to campus, there wasn't much we could do. So recruiting's kind of been the one mainstay that's kind of a consistent day-to-day thing. It's looked different because it's a lot of phone calls, Zoom calls, not so much in person going to games like it has been in the past. But right now we've got three committed players coming in in next fall that I'm really excited about. Three guards, one from Raleigh, North Carolina, who can really shoot it. Nice point guard combo guard from Corning, New York, who had a great season and just moved up to Corning, back to Corning from Virginia. And then a combo guard too, kind of a slasher defensive player, real athletic kid out of Buffalo. So I'm excited about those three guys in particular. But I got a list full on my computer screen right now of guys we're talking to and hoping to get in the mix once their seasons kind of wind down here.
Recruitment certainly seems like a very tedious and very, very careful process in all of college sports. But how many hours per day do you say you're focusing on like recruitment and trying to make the team better overall?
It's a good question. It's different every day. Some days it will be almost all day, where I'm working on whether it's writing letters to high school students, writing letters to parents, making phone calls to coaches or the recruits themselves, or even just like traveling to games. Lately, I've been able to get to Pennsylvania for some games because they're allowing fans. So it's if I guess if I were to average it out, it's a couple hours a day at least, if not more, of just like solid work getting after it, and that's almost every day. So it's definitely tedious. It's definitely a lot of work, but it's the fun part of it too, because at the end of the day, I get to watch a ton of basketball, right? So yeah, like the relationship is the number one priority in building relationship with all the recruits and their parents and their families. But at the same time, like I get to watch basketball while I'm doing it. So it's a lot of work, but it's fun work. It's one of the best parts of the job.
Love what you do, and you'll never work a day in your life, right?
You got that right. Yep.
It's not work if you love what you do. You don't see it as work.
Absolutely. No, it's I find myself and I'm lucky to be able to be in this situation and be able to coach for a living. It's a lot of people coach for fun on the side and still have a regular job. So it's not lost on me how fortunate I am to be able to do this all day, every day. There's long days, late nights, and that sort of thing, but it makes it pretty easy when you have a good group of guys who work hard and everything's about the game of basketball. So it's good stuff.
So with the year being how it is, and unfortunately you guys don't have a season this semester, how have you been keeping the team focused on what's coming ahead next year and next fall and winter?
Again, I'm lucky to have a good group of guys, and we found out in the fall pretty early. I can't remember exactly how it was framed around our first conversation, Josh, but we found out our season was canceled pretty early. It was in October, right? So before we would have ever even had games. So it was never really crossed our minds that like, okay, something was actually taken away. It was, but we kind of had a heads up. Coming back in the spring, so we had the all of winter break to kind of let that sink in and understand we weren't going to play. And then once we found out and got clearance to get in the gym, it was almost like exciting news, like good news. Like, hey, this is great. This is a bonus. And I think that's from what I've seen from the guys and what I've heard from them, that's kind of how they've taken it. It's like, hey, let's just take advantage of an extra month or two here where we can get better and have some fun. So they've done a good job facing it and kind of approaching it that way. I've also challenged everybody, all the guys, to approach this semester kind of as a training camp. And that's been our approach. We're like, okay, we know we're not prepping for games, but in a way, let's use that to our advantage, where we don't have to stress. We don't have to worry about playing time. We don't have to worry about scouting reports. Like each guy individually can worry about himself. And I told them each, like, how good can you get this semester individually? How much better can you get? So that's kind of how we approached it, like a training camp, and tried to use that mindset every day in practice. Like, hey, just get better today, because everything we're doing is getting us ready for fall 2021. And I, you know, it's not an easy thing to do. That was my approach, hoping that they would catch on, and they've been doing an unbelievable job, just staying motivated, having fun, and just really bringing it every day. So it's been nice to see. I can't take credit for that. That's all them.
I was just going to ask you as a follow-up question, is this like a super long off-season mindset for you guys to get better and stronger as a team? But you pretty much already answered that. I guess you can say for any other college sport on campus too that kind of went through the same thing as the basketball team, look at this as one big period of time to just settle down, establish a group, and adopt a winning mentality.
Definitely. Definitely is. And it's, again, like I was kind of, when I approached my guys about it and we talked about it individually and as a team, it's one of those things that when I say it to myself, when we say it to them and the guys, like, it sounds pretty good. And it sounds like it'll work. When you put it into practice, you have to understand, like, this is the first time that they've kind of had in their lives an extended off season to prepare. Right. So even when they're, fifth, sixth grade, they're playing basketball all year round. High school, same thing. They're playing basketball all year, open gym in the spring, AAU in the summer, start with the school in the fall. So to put it into practice, I think is a lot different than just saying it, because it's something completely new to all these athletes. Basketball, volleyball, soccer, baseball, softball, like every sport you can imagine here on campus, because it's not something that as college athletes we're used to. So I'll give a lot of credit to my guys. I give a lot of credit to all of the athletes. I think in particular, like the spring sports right now, who lost last season, and to be able to get ready and get prepared for games on really short notice this spring. It's been pretty cool to watch them just get ready and get prepped. And it'll be fun to see them out on the field.
Yeah, for sure. We're really looking forward to that, and hoping to see some good results there for our Fredonia Blue Devils. But switching up gears away from the Fredonia Blue Devils a little bit, I wanted to talk to you about some D1, this thing called March Madness. I think it's like a basketball thing.
I don't know if you ever heard about it or not.
Yeah, I mean, being a D1 player yourself at a time.
Yeah,
I've heard glimpses, yep. So back in the day, you used to play at UB. And what does this time of year mean to you as a former athlete? And what did it mean to you back then?
It's, it's to me and to a lot of former teammates and friends and coaches, like, this is the very best time of year. Just because you get to see things out of the game of basketball that sometimes I think get forgotten throughout the course of the year. And when there's, big money with TV contracts and, big time teams on TV, and some of the smaller guys you don't see as often, some of the players you don't see until now, it kind of takes you back to like why you play, why you decided to play college basketball, and just competing for the school, the school name on the front of your jersey, and really nothing else. And in particular this year, that's so true, because you're not even competing for the fans, right? There's no fans to compete for, to cheer you on. It's everything is just for yourself, your teammates, and a name on the front of your jersey. So it's kind of like the purest part of the basketball season. Now, you asked me specifically about what it brings back. There's some not so great memories as well. I've lost in the conference tournament championship game. I've lost in the conference tournament semifinal game. So I've been, minutes away from getting into the NCAA tournament and not made it as a player. So those memories always come back too. But it's always fun to see the little guys try and upset the big guys, and kind of see the matchups as they play out throughout the course of the month.
Being a D1 basketball player, I've been to a few college basketball games, and the atmosphere is just electric. What does it feel like when you're actually on the court and you have all the fans surrounding you? What's that atmosphere like?
Well, it depends if you're a home. It's a home game or an away game. No, I'm kidding. It's unbelievable. It really is. And it's one of the most exciting parts about college basketball is just the support and the passion that the fans and the students have. it's something you don't find. Like, yeah, you can go to an NFL game with, you know, 60,000-70,000 people who are all crazy and painted up, but like there's something different about college sports and the ties that all the students and the alums have to their programs, and the passion just runs so deep sometimes. So it's special. A lot of the best memories I have are just like running onto the court before warmups with the crowd going crazy. You know, that makes it really fun. And that's one of the things that it really doesn't matter. Like, I went to a mid-major school, so it really doesn't matter how big the arena is. You know, I never played in front of 50,000 to 60,000 people, you know, maybe 10 or 15. But I don't care if it's, you know, 500, 1,000, 2,000. Like, if you run out, even into like Dodds Hall over here, and we fill that in the next couple of years and it's loud, it's just an unbelievable experience. It gives you energy beyond beyond what you train for. Like, we train guys to be in unbelievable shape and to be able to withstand long games, overtime. Like, a crowd that's supporting you can push you even beyond that in terms of energy. So it's a cool experience.
For sure, for sure. So being at the day of the tournament starting, did you get your brackets in on time?
So it's funny. I can't remember. I was just talking to somebody the other day, and they asked me the same question. Hey, like, Sean, did you fill out your bracket? And being a coach, I have not filled out a bracket in probably 5 or 6 years, because the way I look at it, it's a complete lose-lose. Like, the expectation as a college basketball coach to get every prediction right is just way too good, way too high for me. So I take the risk out of it. I've got my empty bracket right in front of me, so I can look at the matchups, and then I'll just write in the teams that actually win, and that way I always have a perfect bracket. But I have conversations with friends and coaches all the time, and we talk about certain matchups that, like, we're excited to see, and teams we think that might make a run and upset some people. But that's the fun stuff, because I think I, as a coach, I look at the game as like, okay, like, Iowa's running this on offense, and who are they matched up against? How do they play defense? Like, the way I'm looking at it is like, oh, that could be an interesting matchup.
Right.
Versus like, I'll go home and ask my wife or my, you know, my sister or whoever, my mom, and she'd be like, oh, like, I like North Carolina's colors, I'm going to pick them. So like, that's like the cool thing about March Madness is there's so many different ways to look at each matchup, and nobody can ever be right on all of them or wrong on all of them. It's just so unpredictable. It's what makes it special.
I know a few friends of mine that strictly, they don't know much about basketball. I don't know much about basketball either, but they strictly pick which mascot would beat the other mascot. See? In a fight.
And I'm telling you, man, like, I'm sure they're pretty consistently doing okay in their brackets.
Yeah, they're not like great.
I could sit here and try and pick the actual matchups, and they'd be like, oh, shoot, like, all they did was pick the mascots and they beat me. So that's why my bracket's empty.
Even though that your bracket is empty, do you still have teams that you think can make a deep push? Because in my opinion, I'm looking at teams like St. Bonaventure, or Colorado, or Texas, or LSU, teams like that. Do you have any of those teams on your radar?
Yeah, and I'm glad you said it. I think, and you know, I don't want to jinx anybody or anything like that, because they're great guys and coaches. I think Bonaventure is a team to watch out for. Coach Smith does an unbelievable job out there, and they're always going to be ready. And I think the talent they have and the way they're playing right now, it's all about being hot. So if you're hot at the right time, Bonaventure, Ohio. So they beat my UB Bulls in the MAC championship game. So that was a little bit of a disappointment, but the way they're playing right now, and they have an unbelievable point guard who's playing really confident, and that's what you need to win at this time of year. So two teams to watch out for, I say Bonaventure, Ohio, and my sleeper, not really a sleeper pick, but my pick to really, really go deep, I think Ohio State's got something going on. And in their region, you know, Baylor's had an unbelievable year, but Ohio State, I feel like those guys are experienced and they've been there. So that could be an interesting one to watch.
Sounds like some good information from an inside guy.
I'm telling you, take it with a grain of salt.
Take whatever I say with a grain of salt, too.
Yeah, I mean, you got a Carolina shirt on, and they're probably going to get knocked out first round.
Yep. They'll get knocked. I don't know about that. Just take whatever I say with a grain of salt. Anything can happen. We've seen upsets here and there, but That's the best part about March Madness, in my opinion, the upsets. Depending on if you're a fan of the team that's getting upset, maybe not so much.
Right. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. As a mid-major, as a former mid-major guy, I'm a big upset hunter. So, you know, that's, again, another reason I don't win brackets is because you look at my eyes like, wow, why'd you pick all these upsets? Because that's what I'm going for. I want the little guys to win because there's talent everywhere.
For sure.
That's
yeah.
for sure.
It's always fun to see that happen.
For sure. Yeah, definitely.
I guess we'll have to wait and see the next few weeks here. But you got any final thoughts or comments for us here today, Coach? Anything you're looking forward to?
I appreciate you guys having me on again. It's always fun. So anytime you guys need a guest or, you know, need someone to make fun of, like, give me a call and I'm happy to come on the show. But no, it's, you know, things, it's been a crazy year for sure, especially within higher education and within sports and athletics. And I think it's worth saying that everybody, at least around here, but I think around the country too, everybody's been doing a really good job of managing and persevering all of the ups and downs we've had this year. A lot of good things have been taken away, but it seems like now we're kind of heading in the right direction. So not to jump to conclusions, but, you know, I think I'm really hopeful. And if we just keep plugging away and keep being safe about stuff, I think we're going to be back to normal a little bit sooner rather than later. So I'm excited for that. And I'm excited to see what happens here, like I said, with the spring sports here at Fredonia State. Get out there and root them on. Hopefully the rain holds off here in spring in Western New York. We'll see about that. But it's going to be a fun spring, good summer to get back with families and stuff. And then, you know, hit it hard in the fall again.
Yeah, for sure. Well, once again, thanks for coming on. And maybe we'll have to check back in once the tournament's over, see if your upset predictions were right.
Yeah, don't call me if they're wrong.
And don't call me either.
I'll deny it till I die.
Yeah. We'll say your bracket got lost in a horrible fire or something like
that.
Yeah,
my dog ate it. Yeah.
Mine's already been lost. The games haven't even started yet. My bracket's already been lost.
Hey, the Wisconsin draw for North Carolina is a tough first round draw, so good luck with that one.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say a tough one is kind of an understatement for those guys over there.
Hey, but at least they got in. Duke didn't even make it, so I guess that's
– Yeah. I think there was something. It was like Duke and Kentucky. This is the first time they haven't both been in the tournament since like 1976. So Wow. It's definitely in the history books for sure.
Yeah.
Quite a strange year we got.
Someone else's turn. Yeah, definitely his turn. Right. Well, thanks. This is awesome. I really appreciate it. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, for sure.
Thanks, Coach.
You got it.
Once again, thanks, Coach Smiley, for coming on. We wish you best of luck in making your perfect bracket turn out perfectly. I mean, mine and Trevor's aren't going to be the greatest, but it's going to be fun either way.
Yeah, hopefully, you know, his bracket strategy, I think, is really, really good that a lot of people need to adopt. Wait till everything's done and then fill it out. There's no way you cannot get a perfect bracket. I might have to try that this year. Scratch that idea. Throw that idea out the window. I might just do that. Who knows?
I mean, I know personally, I think my personal best percentage on a bracket was, I think, 32%, which is a little bad.
Yeah. Mine was like 27. Mine was like 27, somewhere around there. So, I mean, well, you did better than me there.
I did want to point out, I had a little bit of an achievement in my bracketology course I was taking on campus here. With a few friends, I got 66 out of 68 teams picked correctly to enter the tournament. So what bracketology is? Yeah, right. So what bracketology is? Basically, it's the bracket before the bracket. You're picking the bracket for the tournament. So our course was all about learning how to do that, how teams are picked, and then we had to build the bracket. And I had 66 out of 68 teams correctly. Because Drake and Louisville just decided to go in.
Yeah, if I took that class, I'd definitely need to watch a bunch of the games. Definitely need to study up on what I need to study
so
up.
I don't know how many I tuned into just so I would know. Like,
I mean, just turn on ESPNU. There's always a college basketball game going on.
Right. Yeah. Even if it's not college basketball season.
Yeah. Right. And the Sports Center year round. Oh, recruits for D1. Oh, when the season actually going on. Oh, top picks for March Madness. Like.
Right.
It's all over the place. It's all over media. And in a month where, Hold on.
We're gonna have to back that up. You go, and then I'm going to cut it.
You ready? I was going to say, did anybody in that class get a 68 out of 68?
No, they did not. There was one guy that had a 67, but no one got a 68 out of 68. We put our brackets up against the bracket matrix scores, and they're out of 408. And mine had a 343, I believe. So even though I got all but two of the teams right, you have to seed them correctly as well. So like,
yep.
If you put Gonzaga at like a 5 seed for whatever reason, they're not you're gonna lose points. So it's wherever you and it's who their opponents are as well. That gets you points too, and that
right.
loses. Like you don't get negative points, but if you don't get something right, you just don't get the points, and then it doesn't add up to 408. But yeah, no, it's I'm excited for it. I always like March Madness. It's a fun time of year.
Yeah, it's the best time. I honestly think March Madness is more entertaining to watch than the NBA Finals. I mean, that's me.
Yeah.
I'm sure I'm not the only one that thinks that because you know, in college basketball, you don't always have that super team mentality like we saw with the Warriors in the early 2010s and the mid 2010s decade and the Lakers back in the late 2000s and the Chicago Bulls in the late 90s, those were the super teams. And in the NCAA, all it takes is one upset. That's all it takes to go to at least right. the Elite Eight, maybe the Final Four. That's what I like to see about it.
Right. But switching gears a little bit, we're going to talk about some Fred sports for you real quick. So the first games, as we've said in weeks prior, baseball has their first game this Saturday, tomorrow for you, those of you listening on Friday. March 20th at 12:30 versus Jamestown. That's going to be a scrimmage just to get teams back into shape. Lacrosse has their first game also on March 20th at 1 against Allegheny. That is non-conference. And softball's first game is April 6th versus Alfred, which is also a non-conference game. So a lot of sports coming at you in the next couple weeks here. We're looking forward to it, and it's going to be pretty exciting. We're going to have life back on campus.
Sports are back. Let's go. Finally, a little bit of sense of normalcy. That's what we all were craving.
For sure. Yep. So until next week, everyone have a good week and go Blue Devils.